Praise God. I've got a title here for us. Remember, it's the times of restoration. Remember, it's the times of restoration. We've had a lot of teaching over the years with regard to this. And from time to time, we do bring this up so that we don't forget. I think if we notice with the Deeper Life teaching, God goes through seasons with us where he stresses certain aspects of the walk, the Word of God, in order that we don't forget. Because you see, we need to be watchful in prayer, alert, ready. There is much that is going on now globally, which I don't have to tell you about. And we have to be a people who are hearing what the Holy Spirit is saying, who are hearing the ministers that God has set in the church, what they are saying in preparation for these closing days that we're in. We are seeing much taking place in the Middle East, all of which Jesus said would happen before his return. And I want to just speak again about these times of restoration, because we know that God, before he returns, he's going to restore all things. Because, you know, the Word of God is absolutely clear on this, the restoration of all things. And it's going to be the result of the effects of the curse that will be removed. There's going to be a period of restoration. And we're going to see that it's all preparing for Christ's return to rule and reign on the earth. Now, let's just remind ourselves what the prophet Joel said. I know we've read it before, but let's just remind ourselves in the context of what we're talking about with regard to restoration. And God is reminding us of the times of restoration so we don't forget. In Joel 2, we'll take it up in verse 23 to 25. He says, "Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. And I will restore to you the years that the locust has eaten, the cankerworm, caterpillar, palmer worm, my great army which I set among you." So that, we could say, is our experience at this present time. What God is restoring, what the enemy has robbed and taken Christ's body. How he has robbed, depraved the body of Christ over the centuries. He says how it's going to be restored. He's going to restore to us what the locust has eaten, the cankerworm, caterpillar, palmer worm, the great army I set amongst you. These are insects and animals that slowly eat away. This is what they do. And he then goes on to tell us in verses 28 to 29, where the church is going to experience the latter rain. And he says, "And it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants, upon the handmaidens, in those days I will pour out my spirit." That has been going on now for probably the last 40, 50 years over the church around the world. Many receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Many also, sadly, who've drifted off, who have not understood what the outpouring of the Spirit is, who want to go the broad way, the easy route. But we know, like all things, it's free, but it's not cheap. So Jesus clearly affirms the fact that there's going to be a restoration before he ascends to heaven. Let's look at Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. Acts chapter 1, verses 6 to 7. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and to all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So he clearly says the question that they're asking, he says it's not the right time. He's now saying that you go forth in power by the Spirit and you be witnesses to the four corners of the earth. So there he makes that quite clear. We then see what we know very well again in Acts chapter 3. And if we take it up, Acts chapter 3, verse 20 to 21. And he says this, and that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets since the world began. So Christ is received in heaven. There is a period of waiting, and there is going to be the times of restoration of all things, signs revealing the coming of Messiah, not only to Israel, but coming to the overcomers, the church. We know also in the book of Romans, I'm just bringing these scriptures so that you can just put them together, and we can see in light of what the Holy Spirit is revealing in Romans 8 and verses 19 to 22. Romans 8, 19 to 22, he says, for the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing or unveiling of the sons of God. For the creation was subject to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. And of course, we are seeing that. The birth pangs give us the clue. What are these birth pangs? Well, there are several things to consider. Our walk as overcomers, how that we go through much trial, tribulation, of which to make it into the kingdom of heaven, how he's working with us by the Spirit. We also know that groaning creation, we see it through the world, through politics, what is happening, wars, rumors of wars. We see how Israel is being attacked more and more in these last days, where many Middle East countries particularly don't even want Israel to exist, to be annihilated. These are all the signs of groaning, birth pains. And like any birth pain, it intensifies in order for the birth to take place. We are, I believe, seeing it intensifying in these closing days. We are to be able to spiritually discern what we hear and what we are seeing and so forth. We are told that when the Antichrist comes forth, he's going to bring with him peace. He's going to be a very good political speaker. He's going to be able to work in an impossible situation in the Middle East, because of course they're all raising at the moment these attacks that are going on in Iraq and so forth. Well, what is the agenda? What is the end result of all of this? Have we not learnt and seen before how you go in and try to remove a dictator and whatever it is, and the country just goes further into anarchy? And of course, there's truth to that. No, this leader who's religious and political, and we have to remember there's also a false prophet who goes before, just before, to prepare the way. He will be a great negotiator. He will be a deceiver. He will seduce the people. He will be able to come up with political things to be able to bring a peace. But it is a false peace. And Jesus said, when you see peace, peace, then sudden destruction. And this is going to happen. Are we around when the Antichrist comes upon the scene? I don't believe so. I believe just before that happens, the church, the overcomers, the bride who's making herself ready, is caught away. Do the overcomers get an insight, a discernment of who this is that's coming up? Quite a possibility. Quite a possibility. But we know that until Satan is cast to the earth from the heavenlies and the church takes its place in the heavens, where Satan, remember, has robbed, he's taken that, doesn't belong to him. When the church is there, she is then in authority. She is with her Messiah, Jesus, and they will minister and fight together, side by side. That will be absolutely clear. The book of Revelation clearly shows us this when we read from Revelation 5, 6 onwards, where the church now is in heaven before the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, before his throne, worshipping the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It's a great sight when you read that, what is taking place there. And all of that is preparatory, because they all look to the one who is worthy to judge. They can't. We can't. The overcomers can't judge. We can't set it in motion. There's only one who can do that. And the scroll is presented, and he opens the scroll and pronounces judgment upon the earth. It's all there recorded if you read it. So there is to come, there's some veiling of the sons of God, the overcomers, the first fruits, because they are very instrumental in the restoration work of restoring God's government upon the earth. There is going to be such anarchy such confusion, such shedding of blood before Jesus returns that only God can put it right. That is how bad it will go. You see, the Antichrist thinks he's going to be able to control all that. He thinks he's God, but he's not going to be able to. You see, he cannot control the heart of man. Only God can control man's heart. Satan can't. He can deceive, but that's all he can do. And so because he thinks he can control by his lies, his deception, it will only last for a season. And they will realize that they have been deceived. Many Christians that are left behind will realize they have been deceived. Israel, the Jews, who make a treaty with him, a covenant, will realize they have been deceived. And during the 3.5 years of the Great Tribulation taking place, which starts, God is going to send the two witnesses to Israel to start to turn the father's heart back to Yahweh. So that is going to be their role and ministry. It is going to be completely supernatural. And of course we know that the enemy, the Antichrist, makes war with them. And he strikes them dead, and their bodies appear and are shown globally to the world. And on the third day, God raises them up and takes them into glory. We're going to then start to see a real manifestation, the miraculous, happening on the earth. The judgments that will be unleashed upon the whole of the earth will be completely supernatural. Man will not be able to control it with all his technology that he likes to boast in. I have heard preachers who have said that the time when the Lord comes and his feet touch the Mount of Olives, much of the world will be unrecognizable to what we know it as at present. And I can quite believe that. But he will come to restore righteousness. He will come to reign and rule, and the saints with him, to bring back justice, to bring back righteousness, to establish holiness. And everything that we know that is in the Word of God. And that will take place and will happen for 1,000 years. That is how long it's going to take that those who are left after the great judgments, and there will be a remnant, and there will be a remnant of Jews, they go forth to repopulate again. And through that 1,000 years, there will be God's government governing over the world, and Israel will be the center of where Christ will rule and reign. And it says that the nations will all come up each year to worship him in that holy place. Can you see now why Jerusalem is such a controversial place? It's where Christ is going to rule and reign, and the devil is trying to stop all of that, you see. So we are facing a wonderful future. At the moment it looks almost carnage. It looks as though, you know, what is happening? Everything is going mad, crazy. But out of this, God is going to show a great future that will come when he will come to rule and reign. And he will chain the devil, the Antichrist. His demons will be chained for 1,000 years through that ruling and reigning. But we see at this present time where we are, the church is being built again, if you like. We've shown you the term of restoration. It means it's being restored, it's being rebuilt, it's being brought back to what it should be. And FGA has been blessed for many years in functioning, fellowshipping, gathering together, experiencing this restoration work in our lives. And we just see a few scriptures to remind us of this. For example, in Ephesians chapter 5, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 27, that he might present her to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So there we are. He's working perfection within us. We get that from verse 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. See, it always comes back to the word ministered by the Holy Spirit. This is why I keep saying, keep coming, keep listening, allow this word to wash, to sanctify, to perfect you, so that you are ready, presented, when Christ comes first in the clouds for the first fruits. We see how God is going to do this. I'm not going to read this to you, but in Ephesians 4, 11, 16, where he sets the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher for this working, which he's doing. Praise God. All of this is part of the end time work of restoration. And we have been set apart for this. We've been set apart. We've been brought out of religion, Babylon, so that we come under the headship of Christ and his ministry, which is body ministry, making disciples out of us, so that we function not as an organization, but as an organism. That 1 Corinthians 12 and 14 tell us, whether you're an arm, a leg, a thigh, ear or an eye, whatever it would be, we function so that the whole body moves, functions. The apostle uses that wonderful analogy, but it's in a spiritual sense. And what is all of this indicating? What does FGA indicate and other churches around the world? We're getting ready to rule and reign. You see, the plan of Jesus' return is basically to educate the people. The remnant that is left is so starved of the word of God, is so fallen from the standard of what Christians should be, that it's going to take 1,000 years in which to teach and restore and to educate, to restore the nations back to Yahweh, to give them dominion back to man. And it's going to take 1,000 years because God places authority on man. He gives authority to governments. That's what he has ordained. But we now know that most governments around the world are corrupt. All of that has to be removed. And he has to teach, educate again. Israel, the government, is corrupt. Zionism is political now. Corruption was never meant to be. And so we've got this wonderful time that we're moving towards. And more, I believe, as we go on with this, as things develop globally and so forth, we're going to begin to discern and see what's taking place. As I've said before, as I close with this, I'm not sure yet whether we're in the times of Gog Magog, Ezekiel 37. We've got to wait and see what the North does, where Russia and probably China is involved. Now, the question I'm going to raise is, will Russia, China move into this war that is going on at present? That, I think, is something we need to watch. And if we start to see a move of Russia, the North, even China, and other countries of that region, we probably are beginning to see then World War III that will come. It will probably be nuclear, but we are protected, we are preserved by the blood of Jesus, but we wait on this. We cannot say yet that it is. I'm simply bringing this up so that we are watching and praying. But one of the things is that we will get first information before all your news media, before all your prime ministers and presidents or whatever. God will speak to the house of God. For what purpose? To get into warfare, prayer, intercession. That is always the purpose why God will show his body first. Otherwise, what will be the point? Because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers, principalities, dominions. That's why. And we have been taught much in this assembly about spiritual warfare. So I will say, as Jesus said, watch and pray. And that is what we're to do. That is what the body is to do. Because God is going to speak, he's going to reveal, he's going to show, and he's going to speak through the right vessels. The fivefold ministry that he has set within the body, he will speak through the prophets. He will speak through the teachers, so that we are ready. We are one step ahead of the enemy and of the world. That is what I have sensed, the importance of this teaching today that I've given out. And all I can say is just say to the Lord, I'm ready, I'm prepared, I'm ready to receive what you say, what you give, in order to pray, to intercede, warfare, so that the church is ready for the coming of the Lord. We are moving rapidly now into things that are prophetically taking place. But as I say, this is the one that we must watch and wait and see what happens. But we don't stop praying. We still continue to pray and intercede as the Lord leads us. So there we are, brothers and sisters. Remember, it's the times of restoration. But we look up as our redemption draws near, for we have an absolute amazing future ahead of us that we cannot even begin to put into words. Praise God.